Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Dear precious God and Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you work, Lord, and we thank you. And Lord, we ask that you be with today. Thank you for bringing us all here. Be with the ones that are still on the way. And Lord, we ask that you will keep guiding and directing. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 180. 180. Isn't the love of Jesus something that, what? All right, just
there will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching in the farthest soul away, saving, loving on me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond all human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great evening Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 191. 191. In my heart rings a melody.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There will never be a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He went my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be the song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. October is Missions Emphasis Month, and we will finish our missionary month next Sunday, Tuesday, November 4th, Election Day, Wednesday, November 5th, Bible Preaching and Prayer at 7 p.m. and Patch Club also at 7. November 7th, Wichita Hockey Game at 7:05. Please sign up in the back for free tickets. November 8th, Buzz Visitation and Churchwide Operation Saturation. November 9th, Missions Commitment Sunday and Veterans Sunday. And all the veterans will be honored that day also. We will have another one of our veteran missionaries with us that day too. November 10th, Thanksgiving edition of Senior Saints. At the church at noon with the missionary couple will be there. November 25th, Thanksgiving week, midweek service will be on Tuesday night. And then November 27th is Thanksgiving. So if you don't have a bulletin, there's one in the back, and please remember the prayer request. And that's all. That's all.
Thank you, Adam.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's good to be back. It's been a few Sundays since I've been up here, so we had some good preaching and teaching in God's Word. The Baptist conference there with Brother Rocky was real good. Now, last time we were here, we were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, and we went over some things that throughout the Gospel of Luke. We find out that he's the perfect man. That's what Luke was wanting to present, the Lord Jesus Christ as being perfect. And the way he was perfect is he was blameless, and he was compassionate, and he was faithful. Those three things we can see in the Gospel of Luke and see that he was the perfect man of God. And the reason why Luke wanted to present him that way, I believe, is because of the Greeks that were in the area. I believe the Apostle Luke was, of course, a doctor, and also I think he was well-versed in the Greek culture and different things and the different religions and all those things. And so, we did have a good time with Brother Rocky and the Baptist preaching or teaching he did about Baptist history. Baptist history is very, I remember when I was in Bible college, Baptist history is very, very interesting in that we're looking to follow it, we're following doctrine. And one of the main doctrines is this book right here. The Bible is where we get all of our doctrines. That's what we found out. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I was 21 years old. I just gotten out of the Marine Corps, and I was down in West Point, Mississippi, and I went there for a purpose. My younger brother had become a Baptist, and I was going down there to show him. I was a Catholic. We had been raised in the Catholic Church ever since I started first grade in the Catholic Church and went through the eighth grade and all those things. And I had to learn what the Catholics were all about. And so I went down there actually to tell him how he needed to get back into the church, the church. And a lot of times when Brother Rocky was talking and something, he would use the church. And in my mind, the church was thinking of the Catholic Church. But it's not. The church was formed long before that, and we were taught, and we see that the Lord started his church. I believe that. Why? Because of the Bible. When I got out, after I was there in West Point, Mississippi, and I had heard the preacher there, he explained to me the gospel, and the Holy Spirit touched my heart, and I realized that I had not confessed Christ as my personal Savior. I didn't understand it, and so I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Things changed, completely changed in my life. I knew there was something different. But you know what? I drove back from West Point, Mississippi to Wichita, and the next Sunday, I was going to church. I didn't know where to go. I wasn't in West Point, Mississippi to go to their church. I looked around. Should I go to a Baptist church? I didn't know what to do. You know what I did? I went to the Catholic church. I did. I went to the Catholic church. I sat through Mass, and I thought, something's missing here. I could feel it in my heart. Matter of fact, I did that for a couple of Sundays, and trying to get back into the Catholic Church, trying to get back, it surely all the churches were alike, it kind of instilled in my mind. I just accepted Christ as my personal Savior. You know, I thought, well, everything ought to be right. You know what? I got convicted so bad as I was going to the Catholic Church that something was wrong. I did not know what was wrong. And but the Holy Spirit guided me and directed me. I'm glad. But one Sunday after I had went to the to Mass, and I came out of that church, and I felt something's missing. I'm just not getting anything. And I literally went over on the backside of the church, sat down, and wept. I don't know what's wrong, Lord. And so I was praying, and through the week, God sent somebody into my life, a preacher by the name of Willard Newman. Brother Newman came and said, hey, your brother had sent me a letter and said that you had accepted Christ. Can I talk to you about it? And I said, you sure can. And then he began to talk to me, and he said, there's one place where he gets his doctrine, where he gets guidance and direction. It was in the Word of God. He said, Mike, let's get you a Bible, so you can read what the Bible says. This is the book that changed my life. The Lord Jesus Christ had already opened up to me that I needed a Savior. The Holy Spirit did when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And like I said, I kept going to the Catholic Church, and it wasn't there. Why? The Bible wasn't there. I wasn't getting Bible teaching. And a lot of times people believe that they can stay in the same church and things. You got to get in a church that's preaching the Word of God. And that changes your entire life. A couple of years after I had joined a Temple Baptist church and there with Brother Newman, I learned all kinds of things. One day I went in his office and said, what do I need to do to join your church? I wasn't sure of that. And so he told me what you need to do. He checked with me again, make sure that I was saved, and I gave him my testimony of how I accepted Christ as my personal Savior in West Point, Mississippi. So I gave him that, and he said, well, what you need to do is now come in believer's baptism. I've been baptized as a Catholic. He said, no, did you hear what I said? Believer's baptism. I said, when you were a child, did you understand about baptism? No, I said, no, I didn't understand. I just, you know, I was baptized as a young child. And he said, believer's baptism is you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ first and then be baptized. And so it clicked. I said, that's exactly, he showed me in the scriptures how people had accepted Christ as their Savior and they were baptized. And I realized, hey, I'm learning something from God's Word. I put something else in my knowledge of God, and I needed to be have baptism of the believer. And that's what I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do exactly what Jesus did. And you know, it brings us to our subject today in the book of Luke. What we're talking about here today in Luke's gospel is in Luke chapter 1, that we're talking about some people. Let's give you a trivia question. See if you can pick up from your memory who were the parents of John the Baptist? Darren. That's correct. Here we find out in Luke chapter 1. What's that? A team effort. Okay. Very good. But you got it. Zacharias and we find out, you know, yeah, I believe baptism is very important. I really do. I believe God thought it was very important too, because he sent a man. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, he sent a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John had a purpose. And his purpose was to baptize. I was going to talk to Brother Rocky about this. What's the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus Christ? You know, in the book of Acts, there's a little discussion about that. The Apostle Paul ran across some people that said, oh, we're of the baptism of John. You know, but you know what? In reality, there was nothing different between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus Christ. What we're talking about in baptism is separate here. And John's he's a very important character because in the gospel of Luke, we find out his birth was a miraculous birth. And I think we talked a little bit about that the last time we were here. But it was a miraculous birth. But baptism, just as Brother Rocky had talked about, is immersion, is being put under. And what John the Baptist was doing was exactly what he was giving us a picture of what was going to take place when he took Jesus into to be baptized. He baptized him. He immersed him. He went under and came up. It was a picture of what we say today, a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. When I'm baptizing anyway, I always said buried in the likeness of his death, risen in the glory of his resurrection to walk in a newness of life. And that's exactly what John was doing. He was making a picture of what Jesus was going to go through. So that's when John could stand out there, and when Andrew and Philip, I don't know, Philip, whoever was with Andrew at the time, they came and they heard John say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," and seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and they seen him going, and they followed him, and they became his disciples. And so, and we know that the baptism of John was important because in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection of the Lord, he is risen into heaven. The apostles met in the upper room along with 120 other people as they were there in the upper room. Peter stands up and says, "We need to add someone to our numbers so that the scriptures might be fulfilled." That scripture is in Psalms 41:9, talks about someone replacing Judas. But he says there, when they needed to pray over it, and they selected two men. It says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 1 says, back up to 21. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John." See, with them, it was important for John's baptism. And so, but John was just picturing what Jesus was going to do. Now, after Jesus had gone to the cross and the apostles went out and starting the new church in the book of Acts, they could now that they the picture had turned a little bit. John was saying, this is what's going to happen. Now, when they were baptized, this is what happened. It happened. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and died for us. You know, someone told me one time, Brother Moyer, sometimes you preach too much. But hey, I'm sorry. Sometimes this stuff is good. I like it. And so, we see how John was a very important part of that. Why he did that? Why he baptized the way he did? Because God told him to. He was sent from God. God had a purpose for him. And this is the purpose that he wanted to show everybody, that the Savior was coming into the world. He was going to be buried. He was going to die. He was going to be buried. He was going to be raised again. I'm so glad that resurrection's there, because one day, the Bible tells us, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to ever be with the Lord. And it's going to be a great day. Matter of fact, I think it's so close. I really do. I think there's a lot of things. Just recently heard, I think Preacher and I were talking about a thing, and someone was saying the Catholic Church is growing so fast. You know why? Because they are the church of the Babylonian church that's going to be presented there in Acts or in Revelation, and I think 22. They are growing so fast, and people who are all over coming back into the Catholic Church. I have no desire to go back under a lawful thing like the Catholic Church. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. For it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Under the Catholic Church, there were things you had to do. You had to go to, you know, commit a mortal sin. If you miss Sunday worship, at least if you don't go in a full year, you've committed a mortal sin. You know, and there's all kinds of things that they look at and do, and different things like that, not only to the things. But anyway, John the Baptist, he came here in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. So it tells us here, it says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abib, and his wife of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So here's Zacharias and Elizabeth, the answer to our trivia question. Okay, so they come and they're here. And the amazing thing is, and we've already read this last week, something happened to Zacharias when he was went into the temple that day, and he was there to offer incense. He would be sprinkling the incense in there going through the worship as the other people were outside. He was doing this. Something happened to him. You tell me what happened to him? You remember what happened to Zacharias when he was in there? He met with somebody. Somebody met with him, we could say. Well, what happened? Anybody remember? Yes, sir. Daniel. He met what? He couldn't speak. But what happened? Why he couldn't speak is because he seen an angel in there. Here he was. We read further down here. And it came to pass that while he executed his priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense. There he was, an angel of the Lord. And just like everybody else in the Bible that sees an angel, it says in verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was terribly trembled and feared fell upon him. That something supernatural like this happens, and all of a sudden it brings fear upon us. There's a lot of things that bring fear upon us. You know, I was just looking back in a prophecy book that I had. I think it was Ravi Zachariah that had been writing something. He was talking about the Six-Day War in Israel. I think back in 68, when Israel and their foes always have been, and that the Arabs had come up to a mountain place, and they were getting ready to attack Israel. And it's documented that they looked up, and Israel had sent their troops that way. But they looked up, and they saw a multitude of troops, and they said, there's no way we can conquer these people, and they surrendered. That's when it ended, that six-day war. And when they really checked into it, there was only a small company of people up there. Guess what? They saw something that caused them to fear, and they stopped. And this is, you'll see even in the announcement here when the angel comes to Mary, and the first thing he tells her is to fear not, because fear fell upon her when the angels appeared at the birth of Christ, and the shepherds seen him. The angel said, "Fear not." When we see something supernatural like that, it just kind of takes our breath. And these things happen even today. It says in verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And it's interesting, he told him exactly what to call his name. Now, just like we said, Zacharias here, because of his unbelief, in these things, he was stricken and was not able to speak during this time. And verse 18 says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, wherefore shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in age. How can this happen? I'm an old man, and she's well stricken in age. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things should be performed, because thou believest not my word. The angel said, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. And because of that, you're going to experience this. You're not going to be able to speak. And, you know, sometimes because of our unbelief, things happen. And this is what the angel told him. Because of this, you're not going to be able to speak. And it says, behold, thou shalt be dumb, he said in verse 20. And then 21 says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he had come out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So, but then we find out that at the birth of John the Baptist, when they come and they take him to the temple and all these things, and Elizabeth tells him his name will be John, the people at the temple, the birth of John. Let's go to that. That's in back there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. You know, the one thing about the Gospel of Luke, you'll find out, got a lot of long chapters. A lot of long chapters, a lot of good information in them, but God uses them. And here it says in verse 57, now Elizabeth, full of time that she should be delivered, she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her because she had been so long and hadn't had a child. Now she had a child, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they came. They called his name Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so. He shall be called John. God had a particular name he wanted him called. And the person that gave him the name Baptist was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that called him John the Baptist. He's baptized. Why did he call him that? It's because he's the one that did the baptism. A lot of Johns in those days, just like there is a lot of Johns today. Well, it's a bit that he specifically identified him, the Baptist. And so anyway, John here is, and Zacharias and Elizabeth has said his name should be called John. And of course, they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And they said, verse 62, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled, and his mouth was open. And I can imagine, he writes this out and tells them, John, his name's John, just like the angel had told him. He's seen the miracle happen with the birth of the child. And now that they know his name, according, he wrote it on there, John. Now he's opened up his mouth and he's going to say, his name is John. And everybody understood that his tongue had been loosened, and he spake and praised God. They praised God because of the birth of John. John had a very important purpose. John was a man that preached against sin, and he preached against sin hard. And when the Pharisees came to be baptized of him, he asked them to show fruit of their repentance. He knew that their hearts weren't right. He even went to the king Herod and told him it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife, and all these things, and that which eventually caused him to lose his head. But so he died for the truth of God's word. So John is a very important man. So anyway, as we look at in this portion, we see the things that happened, and John came upon the scene. Let's look real quick to the Gospel of John. Not the same John. This is John the Apostle. And it says in verse 6 of John 1, as there was a man sent from God whose name was John, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ here, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. He was bearing witness in the way he baptized. The baptism was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hadn't happened yet. So by faith, they needed to believe. And when he said, when he told them there was one coming after him that was greater than he, and they pointed to Jesus, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so it was very important. He said here, he was not the light in verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own received him not. I like the next verse. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes all the difference in the world. It's not the sacraments that churches offer or do or all those things. It's not. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus said, and said right here, that He was the true light. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. One way, only one way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that when I got saved, that I had some people in my life that gave me direction. I'm glad for the preacher that when I was there in West Point, Mississippi, Brother James Ramsey, and he gave me a New Testament that day. And on the way home, as I was driving back from Mississippi to Wichita, I looked in that New Testament. And of course, the New Testament, it had the book of Matthew, and I started reading in Matthew, and man, I had all those genealogies and stuff. I said, I don't know who these people are, and all kinds of things. But when I got to the Gospel of John, it became very clear to me who Jesus was. The Bible says in John 1:1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Man, it just makes so much more sense to me. God Himself took upon the form of flesh to do for us what we could not do. Went to the cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood, and died, and showed us His power, and that He rose again the third day. Just like the Scripture said. That's my God. That's my God. And that's who I believe in. And just like verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. You know, we go out witnessing, we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. All we need to do is tell them about Jesus. It's up to them to whether they accept it. I can tell you by experience that the Holy Spirit does convict. Because when I was trying to go back to the Catholic Church, I was being convicted every time there's something missing. What was missing? The Word of God. That's what was missing. I don't care on Sunday morning when the priest got up there in the middle of the Mass and he would read a little bit of Scripture and say, oh, that's good. But it wasn't the Word of God. It wasn't. It might have been something out of the Bible and some little thing and then talking about the Beatitudes or something, and they were good words. But it wasn't convicting like the Word of God does. That's why it's important. You know, I started out in this series before we went to the book of Luke here. I started out talking about the importance of drawing close to God. I only know two ways of drawing close to God. One is prayer. We need to pray. And God tells us, let me give you a little something I got this morning out of my Bible reading here. I always read through the book of Proverbs every month, and today I happen to be in Proverbs 2, so November 2nd. That works real well. So here in Proverbs chapter 2, I thought I marked it. Here it goes. Now, of course, you know Proverbs. Let's get you a little trivia question. Who is the human author of Proverbs? Sir? Solomon. And who was his father? David. All right. And who's he writing to? Rehoboam, his son. That's what he's talking about. Chapter 2 says this, my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, you read the word of God and you see what God wants you to do, then you do it. That's what we need to do. And he says, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, that's prayer. And a lot of times in prayer, I'm afraid we don't get to that point. We're crying after knowledge. There's been some times in my life that, Lord, I cannot see what you're doing. please open up my eyes that I might be able to see. And God shows me. I remember a time just recently where I prayed and he said, be still and know that I'm God. And you know, I just let the problem fall and God took care of it. And a lot of times that happens. But he says, incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice unto understanding, asking God for understanding. And he says, if thou seek her as silver and searchest for her as hidden gold, as a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand of the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's in God's word. One of the first things we talked about there was prayer, how important prayer is in our life. The other thing is Bible reading. What were the marks of being a Baptist? Prayer and Bible reading. They're very important marks as being a Baptist. And sometimes we've heard them time and time again. We hear it preached every Sunday almost. And now you even hear it Sunday school. But that gives us the knowledge. In my Bible here, it's got a little note. It says, knowledge of God. It is not possible for any man to find God by searching for him. You can read that in Job chapter 11. Looked all over for God, couldn't find him. I think it was one of the friends of his. But anyway, it says, God makes himself known to all men who seek him with a sincere heart. That sincere heart comes from prayer. When we pray and sincerely ask God to open our eyes and to give us understanding, as we read here in these five verses, he says of this chapter, again, you will see the Lord Jesus presents the same truth when he says, if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know the doctrine and truth, whether it be of God. And that's found in John chapter 7, verse 17. When we search the truth, we find out God reveals it to us that we have the truth. And a lot of times I think people don't realize how important Bible reading is and everything. Other churches, I can tell you, in the Catholic Church, all I had to do was sit and listen to the preacher. Or the priest, and do whatever he said to do, and confess your sins, and do what he says to do, and everything's okay. Say three Hail Marys and an Our Father, and you know, whatever it may be, but that's not it. We need to see what God wants us to do, and see how God wants us to act and to do the things. And so, I believe here. In the book of Luke, and through Luke's gospel here, we're going to see how Jesus was compassionate toward his people, and he was faithful toward God, and he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And so this morning here, we've looked at the announcement of John the Baptist and his birth. And next week we're going to be looking at the Virgin Mary and the birth of the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many things happen in these verses and things. The Gospel of Luke covers this better than any of the other Gospels. Like I said, in the Gospel of John, he gives us the birth of Christ in one verse. He says here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said the Word was made flesh. That's the announcement here in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of Mark starts out with the prophecy. He says the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts with Christ being, he says, as is written by the prophets before, I send you a messenger before his face, talking about John the Baptist, preparing the way before his way before him. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John did baptize for repentance. So he starts with the baptism of John. And so there's no, the birth is not mentioned here. And Matthew, he starts with, he has the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he does have some parts of the announcement, but I think he starts talking with Joseph, if I remember right. Let me get back there real quick. The birth of Jesus. So all the generations of Abraham talks about that. And now the birth of Jesus was on this wise when his mother, Mary, a spouse to Joseph, before they came together, was found with child. That's it. Then he starts with Joseph. So anyway, we'll start there next week and we'll look at those things. And it's exciting to see what God does in his word. And God is true. He gives us the assurance of our Savior and all these things. And God is good to us. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and we'll go to our morning worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. Lord, I'm so thankful that, Lord, you show us your grace and your mercy and your love. And, Lord, you show it in your word. And we see it and how you worked as you were upon this earth. And, Lord, you were compassionate. You were faithful to your Father. You were spoke, Lord, as no other man spoke. Father, I pray that you just have us, give us guidance and direction as we study your word in the Sunday school class. And Lord, I do ask that you be with our pastor now as he comes to preach the message to us. Lord, I'm thankful you've taken his family so far this weekend and you've kept them safe. Lord, because we know you're an almighty God. There's nothing impossible for you. You just take care of us. And Father, I pray that you bless him as he preaches the word this morning. I ask, Lord, you hide the pastor behind the cross. Lord, that you be lifted up and all men will be drawn to you. Father, we're thankful that your word will not return to you void, but it'll accomplish that which you please and prosper in the things whereto you send it. Father, I ask that you just bless the service, bless each and every person that is in the sound of his voice this morning. Lord, as the gospel message goes out, may our hearts be pricked and touched with your compassion and your love and your mercy and your grace that you show us abundantly. Thank you for your many blessings of the week. Father, we look forward to the things that you have for us this morning now. We ask in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.